To Genesis chapter 22, and we are going to be reading from verse 1 until verse 14. It's a very known passage. All right, this is what the word of the Lord says. Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. And he said, Take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder, and we will worship and return to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. And Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And
what he said, it will happen. I don't know how I'm going to offer him up, because God told me to offer him up, but God is going to somehow raise him from the dead. And I'm going to get the promises. And this is the faith that we need. That we trust God's faithful word. We trust him at what he says. Let me give you a couple of examples. With the gospel. I used to tell my youth, Dame in PE, do we trust, do we believe that the gospel is the power of God for salvation? That is the means by which God say that he's going to save people. Because I think, unfortunately, I think there is a resurgence of a gospel centeredness, but I used to say to them, how do we tell other people, how do we tell our friends about Jesus? And it would go something like this, dude, you must come to my church, we have a really cool drummer, he has an afro, or guys, we have such fun games, or yo, there is some nice girls at church, or just come to church, it's really cool. And hey, nothing wrong with, you know, inviting people, but we will want to somehow paint and sell Jesus, and we need to make it really nice and attractional, and we must go and have we mustn't offend anyone, and then we're gonna get the people into our churches. And see, God said there is one way that people are going to be saved, and it is through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That we are sinners, that we are saved by his grace. Do we believe in that word? That God said that for salvation? Or are we just trying? And the thing is, The world and society changes all the time, but the Word of God stands forever. Do we believe Him at His Word?
We were reminded this morning at the adult Bible class in at the Hill with the Treasure Principle.
And God's saying, hey, trust me with this. I will provide for you. Put me first. Put me first and you will see. He actually says, test me on this. Do we trust Him at His Word?
And I had a friend in Peru, and I remember this one New Year's Eve, and now it was here. I'm going to confess a sin here that it was illegal to fireworks and all of that in Peru. But now we were teenagers, and I just, you know, we're like, come on, man, it's New Year's Eve. No way, we need some fireworks. So, and we looking, it was me and a couple of friends. We looking for a place that sells them because we want to midnight, you know. And I remember this friend of mine is just like, I know where they sell. It's just by my house. So you can give me the money and I'll get it. And I'm like, are you sure? I'm just going to disappear with my money. And so he's like, no, man, I'm telling you, I'll bring it at 10. I'll come back. I'll buy it this afternoon. I'll bring it at 10. Okay. Give it to him. Nothing. Never saw it. We're just like looking and nothing. 10. Tried to phone. Nothing. See, God is not like that. If He made a promise, you can trust Him at His Word. Literally, you can trust Him. And this is the faith that Abraham had. He trusted God in what God said He was going to do. And here again, there is so much of gospel image that, in a sense, Isaac, the passage there in Hebrews is pointing to the resurrection of Christ as well, that He was dead and was raised. But thirdly, trusting God will bring you to a deeper knowledge of Him. That picture is supposed to, that guy is supposed to be Job. Job went through a really tough time, won't you say? That book just humbles you. He went through a really tough time. And at the end of all of that, and God just kind of speaks to him and reveals and says to him, where were you when I created? And at the end of that, Job says these words, my ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. And this is kind of what happens to Abraham. Look at verse 14. And Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it will be provided. See, when you are going through the trials of your faith, this great result is going to happen. You are going to come out of there with a bigger and more deeper knowledge of who God is. This is what Abraham, he goes and says, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. It's like, the Lord will provide. He provides.
It's a bigger, a deeper sense of knowledge of who God is. And that's when our faith goes through a trial and a painful journey. Always the result is, it's more like a bigger awareness of the character of God. We were reminded this morning of God's sovereignty. And let me tell you the story about the visa. After I went through that period of visa, and God provided the visa. But since then, after that, God gave me these two pillars on which to this day, they strengthen me in my faith. And that, those two pillars are in the character of God Himself. And that is in the one pillar that God is sovereign. That God is absolute in control. But and the other pillar is that God is good. Oh man, God is good. Imagine if He was just sovereign and not good. That would be terrifying. We will be in so much trouble. But God is sovereign and He is good, and all things work together for the good of those who love Him. And see, as we go through trials and our faith is tested and is a journey, we get to know God better. And that reward is great. A more intimate, a more resting in that He's got it. That next time you go through a real tough time, which we will go through, man, you remember what happened the first time? Remember that He's still sovereign and He's still good. He gives us a deeper knowledge of His character, and this is what Abraham, he sees God as, He's the one who provides, Jehovah Jireh. But how do we know we can really trust Him? Isaac, okay, that was Abraham. But what now? No, I'm going through this tough. How do we know we can really trust Him? Verse 12. In 13. And He said, do not stretch out your hand against the lad, and do nothing to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. How do we know we can really trust Him? Because God did not only provide a ram for Isaac and relieve Abraham of this pain, but God provided His only son for us. It's hard to read verse 12 and say, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Look at what Romans 8:32 says, He who did not spare His own son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? How do you know that you can trust him? Because when you needed it most, when you're dead in your trespasses and sins, when you were going straight to hell, God did not spare his son, whom he loved dearly. He sent his son to die on the cross for our sins. In verse 13, many believe it's the beginning of the doctrine of substitutionary atonement, in that he offered him up in the place of his son. In Jesus Christ died in instead of us, in our place. He paid for our sins. So you can trust him. Because God did not spare his only son to save us. You can trust him. You can trust him with your life. You can trust him with your finances. You can trust him with your worries. You can trust him with your burdens. He did not spare his only son. You can trust him. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we are undeserving of such a great gift, your son. Thank you for your provision, Lord. Thank you so much for your provision. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us, paid for our sins, paid our debt. Lord, help us to trust you, Lord. To trust you at your word, at everything that you say, Lord. Help us not take it softly or as suggestions. Help us to hear your word, yield to your sovereign wisdom, God. Lord, I want to ask you that tonight, if there are hearts here that don't know you, Lord, would you please touch the heart? Lord, convict them of their sins and how much they need you and how amazing your love is for us. Lord, we want to thank you because even the trials that we have in our faith, as painful as they may be, it's for our good. We thank you so much for your care for us. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.